In my opinion, Nick Drake is one of the most underappreciated acoustic guitarists to ever pick up the instrument. Whether you're a longtime Nick Drake fan, you've newly discovered his music, or you've never heard of him, today's show is for you because you're going to discover a guitarist who's quite simply amazing, and you're going to learn how to replicate his sound. Hey, TAC family, welcome to episode 173 of the Acoustic Tuesday Show. This show is designed to bring fun, focus, and progress to your guitar journey through my weekly Guitar Geek lists, plus success stories from your fellow guitar geeks. This week, you're going to be learning about TAC family member Brandon Kay, who, after reflecting on his guitar journey so far, realized how much progress he's actually made, plus it got him super excited about his guitar journey's future. You're going to learn about Brandon here in just a moment, plus you're going to get some acoustic guitar news you can use, including an artist you need to send some get well wishes to, another artist who uses guitars as her canvas, a cover of Crazy Train, which is undeniably hilarious, plus a new video series that I just discovered and want to share with you. But first and foremost, let's dig into how you can replicate Nick Drake's tone on your guitar. There's only 5 steps, so let's dig in. We're about to go on a quest to discover Nick Drake's tone. I've divvied this up into 5 steps to help this process be a little bit more digestible for you. And before we dig in, I want to mention 2 things. I learned a lot about Nick Drake in researching this episode, and every video that I learned from, I've linked to in the description below. The one standout video that I'll mention is the Vinyl Rewind documentary. It's a 20-minute documentary that gives you everything you need to know about Nick Drake. The second thing I want to mention is this. I think the trailblazer of this topic is Josh Turner. Josh Turner, some years ago, released a video about Nick Drake's tone, and I learned a ton from that video, so I've linked to that in the description as well. I'll be mentioning that video quite a few times throughout today, but we'll go beyond it as well, looking at some compositional elements and things like that. So with all that being said, let's dive into the steps. Step number 1 to sound like Nick Drake is gear. You have to have the right equipment to emulate his tone. Now, I'm not saying drop everything and go out guitar shopping right now, although if you want to do that, I certainly won't be the one stopping you. But there's 2 elements in this category I want to discuss. Number 1 is strings, and number 2 is guitar. I'm going to do them in that category because strings are the least expensive thing on the list. Nick used extremely dead strings, and you can hear that on the recording Pink Moon, and I'm talking about the whole album. The strings lack clarity, they lack shine, they lack brilliance. They're thuddy, they're thunky, and I mean this in a very good way. In fact, in doing more research on Josh Turner's video, he verified this as well.
I doubt he may never have even changed the strings during the whole time that he was recording. Like, they're so dead.
Now, that doesn't mean you have to go, you know, rub your strings in the dirt. You can get nickel strings or something like that that emulate a more warm or vintagey sound. Those are the strings. Let's move on to the guitar. Now, in Josh's video, he thinks that Nick used a small body guitar.
I personally am of the opinion, after listening to his recordings extensively, that at the very least, Pink Moon was recorded on a small body guitar.
Well, then I see Nick playing a larger body guitar, and I saw him in a picture. I didn't see him in person. So we've got a dreadnought over here, speculation of a small body guitar over here. What is it? Well, this is where you come in, because I've recorded the intro to the song Road on 2 different guitars. One of them is a vintage Martin Single 018. The other is a Santa Cruz Vintage Southerner, so a small body and a large body guitar. So I want you to listen to both, and in the comments below, let me know what you think sounds more Nick Drake-ish. Thank you. Step number two to achieving Nick Drake's tone is technique. And there are two things I want to discuss here. Number one is hand position, and number two is picking style. Let's start with hand position. To get the sound that really brings out the body of the guitar with less definition, Nick is likely picking over the sound hole. Now, I got this tip, again, from Josh Turner, and after trying it out myself, I can definitely say that it adds to the body of the instrument, or rather, the body of the tone, and after listening to Pink Moon, again, the full album, I believe this is dead on. So, hand over the sound hole to bring out the body of the guitar. The next thing is picking technique, and I do believe Nick Drake is using fingernails. You get this subtle amount of attack on the front end of his notes that indicate that there's some harder surface being used, and being that Nick played predominantly fingerstyle, chances are he had his fingernails in play. Now, some of you might be sitting there thinking, you know, I'd love to, you know, go after Nick's tone, but I don't have fingernails, and quite honestly, I can't grow them. Well, there's a couple alternatives that you can use to help you on your path. And one of them is by the company ProPick. They make finger picks called Fingertone finger picks, which allows you to get some of the meat of your fingertip on the string, but also gives you a hard edge surface so you can get that clarity and attack. The other option is another pick company called Alaska Picks. And these truly do emulate a fingernail, meaning you can put them on and they kind of wedge under your existing fingernail to simulate, well, a fingernail that's a little bit longer. So a couple different options for those of you looking to, well, go after Nick's tone, but aren't well endowed in the fingernail growth department. Is that a thing? I don't know. I've always had fingernails, so I feel like I've been lucky in that regard. Step number three on our journey to achieving Nick Drake's tone is embracing alternate tunings. Quite honestly, he used a ton of different tunings. So much so that early in his career when he was performing live, there was critiques on his performance saying he took too long in between songs and he never talked to the crowd. Well, that's because he was changing the tuning on his guitar. I want to share a resource with you that will not only give you all the tunings that he used, but also the tabs to nearly every song he wrote and recorded. But first, we have to thank the individual that's responsible for putting this resource together. His name is Chris Heatley, and he put together an amazing website. The URL is nickdraketabs.co.uk. When you go to this website, you'll not only see all the tunings, you'll see tabs for every single song. I don't know if it's every single song, but there's a huge amount of songs there and an incredible resource for anybody trying to attack any of Nick Drake's songs. In fact, I've used that website a ton of different times, and I used it in preparation for the show because I wanted to learn the intro to the song Road, and well, it served me pretty well. Great tabs, great resource. Make sure to check it out. Step number four in emulating Nick Drake's tone and playing style is composition. The compositional elements that Nick Drake used are present in all of the albums that he recorded. Five Leaves Left, Brighter Later, and then lastly, Pink Moon. I'm gonna target Pink Moon because to me, it's the most guitar-heavy album, meaning it's quite simply Nick and his guitar. There's no other production really on that entire album. That being the case, some of the compositional elements that you can include in your playing are an incredibly thumb-driven composition. If you listen to Pink Moon, I want you to take note as to how pronounced the bass notes are and how active his thumb is, presuming that he used his thumb for his bass notes, and I'm pretty sure that he did. The second thing I want you to notice in terms of compositional elements is how his voice oftentimes was a different rhythm than his guitar work, which makes singing and playing these songs a whole challenge in and of itself. But so often when you listen to artists, their voice mimics the rhythm of the guitar. And that's okay, that's not good or bad. But I think one of the things that separates Nick from other musicians is that he had this knack for treating the vocal melody very different from the rhythm guitar part, which I think is so cool. And again, a huge challenge if you try it on your own. Another thing I want to mention is the sparseness of his compositions. Pink Moon is quite sparse. And again, I'm talking about the full album, not just the song. But I don't say sparse in that it's lacking. I think Nick did a great job of occupying a ton of sonic space with just him, his voice, and a guitar. Pretty amazing feat, if I do say so myself. And of course, I was going to throw in tunings here to the compositional elements, but as guitar geeks, I thought that deserved its own category. Okay, we're on the final step, step number 5, but before I get there, I have some homework for you. Yes, this is the first time I've ever issued homework during the Acoustic Tuesday show, and it contains two things. Number 1, check out the Vinyl Rewind documentary that I've linked to in the description below. You're gonna learn a ton about Nick Drake, and I thought it was captivating. All 20 minutes of it, so cool, great pictures, amazing footage, and just a cool story. The second thing I want you to do is listen to the album Pink Moon. And while you're doing so, I want you to see if you agree with me on these points or not. And it's okay if you don't, but let me know in the comments below if I missed anything. And if I did, you'll be benefiting all the guitar geeks that watch the show. Okay, on to step number 5. On our quest to sound like Nick Drake, step number 5 is Nick Drake's X Factor. Yes, nobody really talks about this, and I think it deserves the spotlight, because Nick Drake did indeed have an X factor. He was able to express himself with just a guitar and his voice in such a way that I would dare to venture out on a limb and say no other artist has in the way that he did. Let me explain. I want to dig a little bit deeper here. Now, ultimately, and if you watch the Vinyl Rewind documentary, you'll learn that ultimately external pressures led to Nick being self-medicated and ultimately ending his life. That being said, his albums that were released, 5 Leaves Left, Brighter Later, and Pink Moon, each was released to commercial failure. And during his active time as a musician, that can weigh on you in a big, big, bad way. But he kept composing, he kept creating. And I thought, that's so amazing, because now we have this vast catalog of music that we get to just simply relish in because he kept creating. Which begs the question, which actually I should say brings me to a question I have for you on your guitar journey. As a creative guitar player, when you're creating something, there's this little voice that sneaks up that says, oh, that's no good, that's not worth continuing to pursue. And I want to ask you this question. What if Nick Drake gave into that voice after just 5 Leaves Left, his first album? Well, we wouldn't have 2 more albums worth of amazing songs. And that's a pretty crazy example, but I want you to think of it as applied to your own guitar journey. What if you're on the cusp of creating something great, but you give into that voice? It'll never see the light of day. And us guitar geeks, we want to help each other out and support each other in our creative endeavors. So please, try and silence that voice as much as you can. Yes, step number 5 to sound like Nick Drake is his X factor, but I truly believe that all of us guitar geeks have an X factor. And it's unique. Each of us have our own unique X factor. So please, on your quest for Nick Drake's tone, yes, go after it. Try and sound exactly like him if that's your end goal, but do embrace your own X factor. I know that turned into maybe a little bit more of a coaching session than a true step in the right direction, but I think it actually is a step in the right direction for your own guitar journey. On that note, I do have a question for you. 2 questions, as a matter of fact. Number 1, are you a longtime Nick Drake fan, or did you just discover him because of this show? Let me know in the comments below. And bonus points, if you can go ahead and leave your, in the comments, leave your favorite Nick Drake song to help other guitar geeks discover a song that you might like. I want to introduce you to an inspiring guitar geek. A guitar geek whose reflection allowed him to recognize the progress he's experienced, but also it allowed him to get excited about his guitar journey's future. This is Brandon Kay, and he just celebrated his 2nd Tackiversary. Yes, he's been a Tony's Acoustic Challenge member for 2 straight years. And let's have a quick sneak peek into his reflection right now. I can't say enough how much Tack has changed my life. It really is a wonderful ride. I feel I'm where I'm at in the journey because of this site and all that Tony and the behind-the-scenes staff offer, along with all the wonderful people I've met. This still rings true today. The environment and people I've met made a huge impact on my life. When I started guitar, well, I was a total beginner. I had owned a guitar for a while, but it was basically just a decoration. Just sat on its stand and looked pretty. I had actually started to damage it by not knowing about climate conditions, and it started to dry out. When I joined Tack and started to put forth some effort to learn to play, I was able to revive it, and it now is as it should be. My skill level was basically 0. I could finger 2 chords but could not strum or transition at all. The focus and learning path did not exist until Tack. I was leery about joining a forum-based community, as I have built a few myself and know how they can run down the negative path quickly, but that is not the case here, which was a very pleasant surprise. Starting year two, it's hard to believe where I was and all the thoughts of, I will never get this. The play everyday motto is definitely not a problem. Thank you all for that. I've become more confident with both playing and singing. My guitar skills might not have increased all that much, but I feel I have a much more solid foundation to build upon. My goal in 2020 was to learn 5 cover songs. I have learned 15. I can play most of them by memory, and those that I can't only take 1 or 2 go-throughs to refresh my memory. The virtual open mics played a big part in this. At this point in my guitar journey, I can now zip around using 4 chords with no effort. I have some basic finger-picking skills and can strum some cool rhythms. Some other things I can now do include hammer-ons, change strings, and general guitar setup and maintenance. I challenge myself every string change to try and tune the guitar without a tuner, and I'm getting closer. I can sing and play. Well, I can't technically sing, but I can sing and play. I can recover a pick from the sound hole. I can keep track of a pick for up to 3 days. I can remove the drum of my dryer to stop the clicking noise and retrieve the picks, making the noise. I can walk into and out of my practice area without tripping over a cable and ripping my music stand down, and I have a good working knowledge of the electronic side of recording and performing. Okay, I made a few jokes about losing picks, but one thing I really need to work on is playing with a pick. I've avoided it to this point, but I really need to get that learned to be able to do some of the things I would like to do. Playing and singing is something I have come to really enjoy. The virtual open mics have been a lot of fun and have pushed me in new directions. I should also add that learning songs within my chord bank come much faster now. It's days versus months. Looking forward to next year is really exciting. I've already knocked songwriting off the list, which is very rewarding and something I truly enjoy, so much so that I have a few more in the works now. I'm still working on increasing my chord library, so many things to learn, but I really concentrate on getting down what I know and trying to really use different techniques, you know, a full package type of thing. I'm looking forward to live jams again, but until then, I always look forward to the virtual alternative. Thanks again to all that make this place tick. Cheers to another great year. I want to thank Brandon so much for sharing his story, and I think it really underscores the power of reflection. It's so important to look back and see how far you've traveled in your guitar journey so far. As guitar geeks, we're very guilty of focusing on the next best thing. But taking that moment to pause and look back and feel those awesome feelings of how much you've accomplished so far is pretty darn incredible. I mean, in Brandon's case, he was a total beginner. He didn't even know how to take care of his guitar, and now he's writing his own songs and attending virtual open mics. Pretty darn stellar, and again, huge thanks to Brandon. And congratulations on your 2-year tackiversary. Now, you know what? It's freezing cold in Bozeman, and I want to go down to Texas and visit a fellow Acoustic Tuesday family member and see what he has in his guitar arsenal. This is Christopher Howard from San Marcos, Texas, and here's what's in his guitar arsenal. The top row, left to right, we have a Close Hybrid Deluxe full-size guitar, a handmade nylon-strung 6-string lute, and an Ika banjo. The middle row, again left to right, is an Andrew White Freya 102. He's holding his newest addition, a Martin D16 GMG CGT, which is a full-depth Guitar Center version of a D16E. And lastly, a Fender Jimmy Vaughn Stratocaster. The bottom row, again left to right, is an Epiphone G400 Pro SG, a Taylor Academy 12E, a Taylor 214 CE, and a 1980 Alvarez Yairi DY87 double neck. And lastly, a Seagull Entourage. Talk about an awesome guitar arsenal from Christopher. I never knew that in the 80s, Alvarez made a double-necked guitar. I had never even seen one. I didn't know it was a real thing until he submitted his guitar arsenal. So huge thanks, Christopher, for doing that. And if you're sitting at home thinking, I have a guitar arsenal that I want to share, well, I'm encouraging you to please do so. There are 3 simple steps that you have to follow. Step number 1, go to acoustictuesday.store and pick out your favorite guitar arsenal shirt. Step number 2, put that shirt on and take a picture amongst all of your guitars. And step number 3, upload that picture at acousticlife.tv. Once you're there, click on the submit link in the top menu and then go ahead and follow the instructions, upload your picture, tell us your story, and I'll feature you on an upcoming episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now it's time to hit the rewind button and head back to episode 171 of the Acoustic Tuesday show, where I talked about guitar makers you should be on the lookout for in 2021. There were a couple of comments left on that show that I want to highlight because, well, they're darn awesome. In fact, this first one comes from DS, and they say this: I'm quite partial to Seagull guitars located in La Patrie, Quebec, Canada. Robert Godin is the mastermind behind this company, bringing his expertise to all of the Seagull models. Seagull utilizes non-conventional tonewoods for unique full-bodied sound. I own a 6-string mahogany model and a 12-string wild cherry and cedar model. A lot of guitar for the money and fantastic quality. I purchased my 6-string when I was shopping for a Martin guitar. I actually preferred the playability and sound of my mahogany 6-string Seagull over the Martin 6-string mahogany model. I know Martin fans will wish me dead. That is not true, D. Please don't worry. Us guitar geeks just want to see fellow guitar geeks find a guitar that's right for them. Let's go ahead and move on to our next comment, and I think you'll actually know the commenter, because it's one of the guitar makers I told you to look out for in 2021. This comment comes from Fork Guitars, and they simply say this: great video, Tony. Thanks for having us on the list, and greetings. Well, greetings back to you, everybody at Fork Guitars. Keep doing the awesome work that you're doing. Our next comment comes from Edward Peterson, and he has a luthier recommendation. He says this: I have discovered the luthier Tom Sands, former apprentice to Irvin Somogyi. He builds guitars in North Yorkshire, England, but imports to the world. Yes, indeed, Edward, I am aware of Tom Sands, and for those of you who are not, please check him out. Check him out here on YouTube, check out his website, because he builds amazing instruments. In fact, he's got a great, great video series about tonewoods that I think you'll find incredibly informative, especially if you're a tonewood geek like I am. In fact, that's a great follow-up to last week's episode, the tonewood episode. But thank you very much, Edward, for sharing your luthier knowledge and recommending that we check out an amazing luthier. In fact, Tom is a great individual. Tom and I communicate quite frequently, and it brings me to the point of, it's so cool to meet fellow guitar geeks. It just opens up this interesting avenue of communication that I think if it weren't for the guitar, may not be there. Which leads me to the next comment, brought to you by Lafayette La Sainte. And this is more of a story than a comment. So let me go ahead and read, and it really does involve the friendship and bonding that music creates. Here it is. Hey Tony, I know that you geek out about guitars. I'm a guitar geek too. But I also know that you're into bonding as well, and besides that, the banjo is a good friend of the guitar. Here's a true story from my old friend and mentor, Rick McKean, who has taught guitar and banjo. He gave me permission to share this story with you and our guitar geek community. Here's a touching story. I used to teach banjo classes at the Glendale Community Center. Two of my students were a guy named Mark and his dad. Well, after several years of group lessons, Mark became a private student of mine and took lessons at my home for several more years. Even after I had taught him everything I knew, he still wanted to come over and jam and talk about his gold mining hobby. I would draw images of scales, chords, and key signatures on the whiteboard, and he would draw images of his gold mining equipment. We had many wonderful evenings of music, jams, and discussions. When his dad died, he played his favorite banjo in the lobby of the funeral home until it was time for the funeral. Then he slipped that banjo into his dad's casket. He always said that I gave him and his dad such a great bond through banjo music. What an awesome story. And really, it goes to show and really highlight how incredible bonds that are created through music are. I mean, I can think of so many people in my life that I've met solely because of music. And I feel quite simply fulfilled and enriched because those people are in my life. So huge thanks to music and this guitar community for creating that bond time and time again. Pretty amazing stuff. And I also want to thank everyone who left comments on that episode. I don't have time to feature them all, but holy smokes, what awesome discussion. Some great guitar manufacturers were brought up, and I'm always amazed at how you interact with this guitar geek community. And when I say you, I mean all of you. It's such a great group of people, and I cannot thank you enough. Now it's time for one of my favorite parts of the show, and that is acoustic guitar news you can use. Yes, I'm trying to keep you on the forefront of the happenings within the acoustic guitar industry, and very first on my list today is an artist that recently had an accident, and it's requiring you to send her some get well wishes. Sarah Voss of Dead Horses was leaving a gig or a rehearsal, I can't remember which, and she slipped on some ice and fell on top of her guitar case. And the result was 2 cracked ribs and a partially collapsed lung. So she's going to be out of commission for some while. So if you're on the social medias, if you're a Dead Horses fan, please send her your best healing vibes and good energy, because she certainly needs it. We got to get her back and writing those amazing songs again. Next news item on my list involves another artist named Sarah. This time I'm talking about Sarah Ryan, who's an amazing visual artist, and she happens to use guitars as her canvas. Well, the guitars aren't made of canvas. She just simply paints amazing designs on these guitars. So here's the story. She started out painting guitars for Creston Electric Guitars. Adam from Iris Guitars, which I featured a couple episodes ago, caught wind of Sarah's work and asked her, hey, would you mind painting an acoustic guitar? To which she said no multiple times. But Adam finally convinced her to do some of her paintings on Iris acoustic guitars, and lo and behold, they just released a limited run of Sarah Ryan painted Iris guitars. They're absolutely gorgeous, and to me, they conjure up this imagery of old Regals and old Stellas. You know, the kind that had the really cool painted designs on the front? Yeah, they're that cool. And I gotta tell you, having her artwork on an Iris guitar, it's like a match made in heaven. A couple episodes back, I talked about guitar makers you should watch for 2021. And I left Guild Guitars off the list. And I shouldn't have, because they just released two baritone guitars that are absolutely mind-blowing. They sound incredible. You've got the BT-240E, and the BT-258E. These guitars are purely stunning, and you have to listen to them, so let's go ahead and do that. I just found this new Guitar Geek series that you absolutely must be aware of. It's brought to us by our friends at Chicago Music Exchange, and it involves Nathaniel Murphy. Now, that name might ring a bell because we've featured Nathaniel before as an artist on the show, and you also might have seen him on many of the Chicago Music Exchange demos. He's the type of player that plays every style, and he plays it incredibly well. Well, this new series is called Nathaniel Murphy Has Questions, and he goes about posing questions to experts in the field. And this most recent episode has him asking questions about guitar setup. And we're going to look at a clip here in a moment, but what I love about this series is the conversational element of it. Quite simply, you're a fly on the wall while Nathaniel talks to the guitar setup expert, and you get to learn a ton. Let's have a look.
I've been taught so many ways how to put on a string that I was just left confused by the whole thing.
All right.
I've heard of Nashville knot.
Let's clear it up. All right, so here's the part you need to know about.
Okay.
So I like to start with the high E string. It literally does not matter.
Right, okay.
A lot of people tell you you have to like alternate, you know, start with the low one and then do the middle strings.
Yeah.
It's kind of an urban...
See, this
like
is the thing, I've been told
tale.
So many things that I should do the low E and the high E, and work my way inwards.
No, it's not gonna hurt your guitar to do this.
Okay.
You're gonna pull this tight, each string, make sure it's in its little saddle slot, make sure it's the ball is not like hanging out or anything, so we're good here.
The final news item I have for you is maybe less news and more laughter inducing. This is a cover, an acoustic guitar cover of the song Crazy Train that I just found. It had me in hysterics because it involves two bowls and two acoustic guitars and two water bottles. You'll see what I mean. And on that note, yes, pun intended, I think it's a great time to wrap up the Acoustic Tuesday show. But let's take a quick sneak peek into next week to see what I'll be chatting to you about then. Next week on the show, I'll be talking about inexpensive tone experiments you can do right now to unlock your creativity and bust yourself out of a guitar rut. Make sure to tune in to Acoustic Tuesday next week, and actually, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every single Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time here on YouTube. I want to thank you so much for joining me today. I want to thank you for being a guitar geek. And remember, your guitar success, your guitar progress, however you define it, is directly related to your guitar routine. So please take the time and invest in your guitar routine and have fun every single day that you play. Again, thanks for joining me, and I'll see you next Tuesday on the Acoustic Tuesday show. Cheers, and Guitar Geeks Unite.